thank you so much, choir. And I'm so happy to be here today, and I appreciate those that prayed. And I had the flu and bronchitis, and I'm grateful to be here. Thank Brother Doug last week. He preached, did a tremendous job out of Isaiah. And we're asking the Lord to use our time together here today, and that His Word would renew our heart, that we would realign ourselves to walk in a greater fellowship in accordance to Him. And Brother Doug, do you care to come and open us with prayer? I'm going to try to save my voice as much as possible to start the service. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for each and every person here this morning. God, thank you for a place that we can come and worship you and fellowship one with another. God, I pray for those who are sick or hurting this morning. God, I pray that you would just meet the needs there. I pray that those who are facing uncertain days ahead, God, I pray that you'd give them peace and comfort. God, I pray that you would just meet with us in a special way this morning. God, I pray that as pastor preaches and the choir sings, God, I pray that the Spirit of God would just move over this place and God would stir hearts this morning. And God, we would leave out of here just a different person than we came. Lord, I just pray again, just meet with us in a special way. If there's any here this morning that doesn't know you as our personal Lord and Savior, God, I pray that you would just help them to make that decision today. For it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, if you'll stand and turn in your hymnal to page 333, I'll Fly Away.
Let's not take this for granted. Let's think about every word. Here we go.
Sun, black morning, when the sky comes all out, fly away to a home of God, so let the star pass, fly away, pass, fly away, oh glory, fly away, when I die.
Thank you.
together while the choir comes down. Here we go. What a day. Just as He is. Hallelujah. Let me take me by the hand and lead me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. Thank you. Praise God. Be seated.
Right. We're going to trick you because you got to stand back up and sing a congregational. All right, if you'll stand one more time and take your hymnal to 359.
I'm sorry. Sing it, folks. Here we go. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, being on the everlasting arm. What a blessedness, what a on the everlasting arm, living, living, safe and secure from all alarms, living, living. Here's a nice verse. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, living on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path goes from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arm, I have blessed peace with my Lord so dear. Leaning on the everlasting arm,
seated. I hope you got a bulletin on your way in. And really, again, as I opened the bulletin this week, I wrote a letter and really just thanking the church for being the church. I want to remind you, the church isn't something you go to. It's a family you belong to. And last week, as I was unable to worship and I missed the service, and I was glad I was able to watch it online, it just wasn't the same. And folk, letting folk know that they were praying for me and attentive and caring one for another. That's part of a church family. And I was reminded this past week as I was at home sick and kind of taking some medication, recovering, I was reminded the value or the importance of the local New Testament church. And that we as brothers and sisters in Christ love one another, care one for another, pray one for another. We carry those burdens and empathize and sympathize one with another. But thank you so much for your prayers and the kind words. And we're so happy to be on the mend. The winter, these are hard days. There's a lot of sickness and folk having surgery, folk unable to worship with us. But I'll remind you, in hard days, God's still at work. And I'll remind you, in dreary days and rainy days and days of sickness, God is still ultimately fulfilling His purpose and plan, and He wants to use us as His children to do those. Three things I want to have you be mindful of. This week we have a senior lunch on Thursday, February the 15th at the Mad Greek. If you plan on attending that lunch. If you'll see Susie today, we're trying to finalize that. And then our men, all of our men, I want to challenge you and encourage you to be with us on this coming Saturday at 3:30. There'll be a catered meal, and Brother John Reynolds will be our guest on Saturday. And then when we're concluded, we'll go over to the gun rack and shoot some firearms. But I want you to be there for the meal. I want you to be there for the preaching. And then on Sunday, he'll be our guest all day next Sunday, already working toward an evangelistic service. Maybe you have a coworker, a friend, someone you want to get under the sound of the gospel. Next Sunday would be a tremendous, tremendous opportunity to have them here, to have them be under Bible preaching, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed again and again and again. A lot of good things. At the bottom of the bulletin there, it has our new address in Bluff City, Tennessee. Several folk this week had asked for that. And then on the back of the bulletin, I didn't know if you were aware, I have my cell phone published there in the bulletin. If you ever needed to get a hold of me or pass along a prayer request, I want to be available as much as possible. Thank you, Brother Doug.
All right. Thank you for being here. If you're here this morning, it looks like we're all home folk this morning, but if you're here and it is your very first time being here with us, we'd like to welcome you here to the Tabernacle and also ask that you will just fill out that visitor's card there that's in the front of the pew there and just drop that in the offering plate. That way we can have a record of your first time being here and hope that you will return and just fellowship with us in days to come. But at this time, we'll ask our men to come. We'll receive our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. As far as a couple more announcements, of course, we will have communion after the PM service tonight. So please be in your place tonight to participate in that. And then, of course, at the end of the month, we will be feeding the Sheriff's Department. So if you'd like to be a part of that, then you just you can give towards the church, drop something in the offering plate, designate it to that, and we will get that to that. Also, we've announced it the last couple of Sundays here. If you would like to be a blessing to our local administrators, there are a couple of letters still on the front row here. And if you'd like to get that, fill that out. It's stamped. It's ready to go. And just send a letter of encouragement to our administration here. Again, I've said it before, the future of our churches, the future of our country are our young people. And so if we can encourage those who are leading those, Lord willing, we'd be able to touch those those young people in a way that they would get them on track and be living for the Lord. So hope you'll do that. There's also a note in the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to help in our nursery, if you'd like to be a part of that, we do need some helpers in here. You can see Miss Patty Hodges, and she can give you all the information on that, get you on the schedule. I know it'd be a blessing, especially those Overbay and Davenport boys in there. I mean, they act like their dads instead of their moms, so they're angels in there. So just I'm gonna hear about that one later. But anyway, if you'd like to be a part of that, you just let us know and we'll plug you right in there. I'm last Brother Rodney Howard. If you got asked a blessing on the offering this morning.
Father, we love you. Thank you for another opportunity to be here. Thank you, Father, for being able to give back for what you've done for us. We pray you will bless the offering, bless each giver. We thank you, Father, that you won't take it and bless it to your kingdom. We thank you, Father, for this church, what it means to us. Thank you for the church family. We pray for the pastor today, Lord, giving the message, Father, you've given that message for us to hear, and I pray for it to be something we can apply to our lives and help us to grow spiritually. Thank you for all that you do for us.
Amen.
Praise. All you got to remember is two words, praise and love. Praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime, praise Him when the sun goes down. You remember it. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him when the sun goes down. Love Him, love Him in the morning, love Him in the noontime, love Him, love Him, love Him while the sun goes down. Thank you for the good singing.
Well, Exodus chapter 32 this morning, and we continue kind of part two of the golden calf, and we'll finish up our study of the book of Exodus here very, very soon. And then maybe before Easter, I'd like to preach on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and just asking God to guide us as we walk through the Scriptures together and allow His Word to help our heart, to encourage us. Exodus 32. Patty's going to come along and share in song, and as soon as she's concluded, we'll get right to the Bible message. so much. Exodus chapter number 32, and I'll do the best I can, and with my diction and breath, I may talk a little slower than I prefer. I want to preach this morning on the topic of the consequences for idolatry. The consequences for idolatry. We live in a world today where people do not want to face consequences. Even this week, I was on the internet reading an article, and the article referenced a teenage young man. He was here illegally in the United States. It was in the state of New York, and 14 years old, he robs a sporting store and steals some items, and he comes out of the store and with a .45 caliber gun, shoots into the crowd, and people are murdered, people are killed, and this 14-year-old young man is put in handcuffs and led away, and he is crying and emotional, and people feel like, well, he's just a kid, he didn't know what he was doing. Wrong. We all have consequences for our decisions. I grew up in a generation where those consequences many times were applied to my rear end. I grew up in a generation where those consequences were saying things off color or saying things inappropriate or saying a dirty word. I've ate more Dial soap. I could belch a bubble right now. Why did my parents do that? Because there were consequences for my actions. We live in a society where there should be morals and laws. We live in a society where there are rules to abide by. There's speed limit signs. There's law enforcement officers. There's state troopers. Why? Because they're trying to form order in society. And when we do whatever we want, there are typically consequences. Come to Exodus chapter 32, Aaron early on in the previous time we spoke on the text, Aaron makes the golden calf. Moses is away. The end of Exodus 31, the very last verse, verse 18, it says that Moses is away on Mount Sinai, and Exodus 32 opens up. But we just don't know what happens to Moses, and we just don't know where he is. And Aaron, we want this golden calf. And so Aaron says, break off the earrings out of your ears. And the Bible says in verse 4 that he fashioned it with his hand. And you get down to verse 6 and they're dancing around and they are worshiping this false idol or this golden calf. You get to verses 8 and 9 there of the text of Exodus 32. And not only is God angered, Moses is angered. Come down a little ways more, and Joshua says, I hear the sound of war in the camp. Moses realizes, or Moses knows, it's not the sound of war, it's the sound of idolatry, sound of paganism, the sound of wickedness. So punishment as Moses comes down and he's angered, and you get to verse 19 and 20, and he takes the golden calf and burns it. He takes the golden calf and grinds it up. He takes the golden calf and sprinkles it on the water. He takes that golden calf and he makes them drink this lifeless idol. That would be nasty or inappropriate. As I read this week, many commentators said it was as if God and Moses wanted to remind them it was nothing more than human waste. This idolatry. The consequences for idolatry. As you read the back half of Exodus 32, two consequences mentioned here is that there was death. The very last verse of the text says that there was a plague.
And here we are in 2024. Here we are with idols of our own making. Here we are living in a society where we don't want to own up or face the consequences for our own decisions. How many of you ever heard someone say this in society today? It's my life. No, no, it's his. He's given you that life. Consequences for idolatry. There's three things you'll see here in the text. You'll see a punishment. You'll see accountability. And you'll see folk that need reconciled to God. One of the saddest things that happens in this shift in Exodus 32 is the children of Israel have seen the plagues. The children of Israel have crossed the Red Sea. The children of Israel have enjoyed manna and water from the rock. And at this moment, from this moment moving forward, one of the punishments for their idolatry was the very presence of God was removed from the camp. The church in America today, the buzzword revival. We need revival. We need revival. We need revival. The church will not experience revival until there is a confession of sin and idolatry in all of our lives. We want to look and fix everything, put a Band-Aid on it, when we really need to come here to a holy God and say, God, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Consequences for idolatry. How do you react when you're disciplined? What is your response when you are corrected? Aaron wants to pass the blame here in this idolatry, but Moses comes down to punish the sin. Look with me at verse 15, please, of the text, Exodus 32. Moses turned, went down from the mountain. The two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables written on both sides, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, they were written. The tables were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. The very hand of God wrote these, verse 17. And Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted and said unto Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it's not the voice of them that shout for the mastery, neither is the voice of them that cry and being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. It came to pass as soon as he came nigh into the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand, and he broke them beneath the mount. It's a picture. It's a picture. Their relationship with the holy God was broken. You and I want to harbor sin. You and I want to harbor idolatry in our own heart. And our relationship with the holy God is broken. Idolatry affects our whole life. Look at the punishment in verse 20. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and strolled it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. Moses said to Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people and that they are set on mischief. Moses, you know these people. God, Moses, you know they're hard to deal with. Moses, you know they're stubborn. For they said unto me, make us a God
which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what's become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me, and then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Excuses, lies, blame shifting. Is that not how we treat sin in our heart? Is that not how I treat sin in my life? When I come up with an excuse of why I have that attitude, I want to shift the blame. Moses stood at the gate of the camp, verse 26 of our text. And Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Sons of Levi gathered themselves together. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from the gate to the gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion, every man his neighbor. Verse 28, children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. There fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Verse 28, I wrote next to my Bible, consequences. For Moses had said, consecrate yourself today to the Lord, even every man upon his son, upon his brother, that they may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Came to pass on the morrow that Moses said to the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I'll go up to the Lord peradventure. I shall make an atonement for your sins. Here's the problem in verse 30 following down. Moses wants to offer himself a payment for their sin. Moses is not qualified to be a payment for their sins. So Moses goes on, and come with me, please, to the end, the last verse. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron had made. Our sin always has consequences. And we must face the consequences in our own lives. Our sin will be punished. How many people today are attempting to do godly things in an ungodly manner? And we wonder why the church is not experiencing revival. We wonder why so many Christian lives are sputtering. When we have a gospel influence, yet we haven't acknowledged sin in our heart. We have idols in our heart, and we don't want to face the consequences of the decisions we have made. A living God was exchanged for a lifeless idol. What have you exchanged for him? I'm burdened as a pastor. I'm burdened to try to love the Lord and love people and read my Bible and prepare sermons. And there are occasions where I ask myself this question, what's the point? God, why will people not turn back? God, why will people not acknowledge the sin in their heart? Aren't you tired of a lifeless Christianity? Aren't you tired of just going through the motions and putting a little money in the plate and giving yourself a spiritual pat on the back? When you leave here, you feel like God is a million miles away. Why is that? Because we haven't acknowledged the sin in our own heart. We haven't acknowledged the shortcomings in our own life. And we are attempting to do and live the spiritual life apart from God. And it will not work. Consequences.
Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day. Lest when thou have eaten and art full, thou hast goodly houses and dwelt therein. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up. But thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. What they wanted was far from what God desired. They wanted the golden calf. They wanted this idolatry. They wanted all these trappings, but it was so far from what God desired for their life. Israel had become a lifeless idol. There was no real validity. They're stiff-necked or stubborn people. They wanted their hobbies and habits. They wanted to be like Egypt. Yet that was so far from what God desired for them. As I read this text again and again and again, and I noticed one key ingredient that was missing. Do you see repentance? Do you see remorse? Is that not where we live in American Christianity? I want to look around in my life and I'm better off than they are spiritually, and I showed up and they didn't, and we're climbing this stupid spiritual ladder that's non-existent, when we all need to acknowledge our sin to a holy God. Say, God, I want your blessing on my life. God, I want your presence in my walk. God, I want to hunger for you. You need to repent. You need to acknowledge sin. You see Aaron shifting blame. You see Aaron making excuses. You see Aaron saying the craziest of things. We just threw the gold in the fire, and out came this calf. Have you ever noticed when you're trying to justify the wrong in your life, you say stupid stuff? Aaron is not acknowledging the wrong. There's minimizing sin. There's a shifting of blame. They want to justify how they feel. Whether we admit our sin or not, we are still accountable to a holy God. Moses forced a choice. You're either picking God or you're picking the golden calf. And you can't have both. We want a revived heart. Then we must acknowledge sin. Discipline is always necessary. I didn't understand at 8 or 9 or 10, and mom and dad would get a switch off the tree or a belt or a flip-flop. We were beat with whatever was within arm's reach. Have a bar of soap in my mouth. I didn't understand all those consequences. But you know, when I had kids of my own, what kind of parenting do you do? You do the same parenting your parents did to you. Old Ella and Kate, They haven't got the taste for Dial soap like I did. Consequences. Consequences. Discipline is always necessary. 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. They were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the servants. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyed. Now all these things happened unto them, for in samples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. At Galatians 6 and verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The punishment for sin, the burning, the grinding, the powder, the sprinkling on the water, it forced the people to identify with their terrible sin. Sin is always costly. And Israel's sin had not only led them to the death of thousands of people, it robbed them of the presence of the Lord in the camp. That lifeless Christianity. Charles Spurgeon said this, God never permits his people to sin successfully. 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. The last time we met, we really just covered the part of idolatry, and I'm trying my desperately today to cover the thought of consequences for the idolatry. You see the indignation of God or the anger or the displeasure of God. Moses comes down and the tablets are broken. God saw the actions of the people. Our actions matter to a holy God. The people were carnal. The people were charged by God in verse 10. The people were living their lives for themselves. Colossians chapter 3:1-2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. The indignation of God, the anger, the displeasure, the hot wrath of God. And then you see the intercession of Moses. It's Moses who goes to God. It's Moses who desires. It's Moses who besought the Lord in verse 11. When is the last time you and I had a burden for someone that was wayward? Moses has a burden for the children of Israel. You and I that know the Lord, should we not have a burden for those that are wayward? The Bible says Moses besought the Lord. The Bible says that Moses cared, verse 12 of the text, Moses cared for the testimony of the people. Idols are not meant to be managed, but to be destroyed. Moses loathed the sin. He was heartbroken. Sin may be pleasurable for a season, but it has a terrible and long-lasting aftertaste. Look at the text, please, in Exodus 32 and verse 26. Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. There is a call for action. A call for action. But while it's easy to identify the sins of others, we must be willing to be just as harsh when dealing with our own sin. We must refuse to tolerate our own rebellion against God. We must have a tender conscience towards a holy God. Matthew chapter 7. "Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Believers must constantly remind themselves that Satan is the great counterfeiter who tries to get us to accept a substitute in place of God's plan. That the consequences in the text were death and a plague. And I think in my own life, I think in the life of Christians today, I think of the congregation I'm privileged to pastor. And we want to see God work. And we want to see God bless. And we want to see God do a mighty work in the hearts and lives of people. And it will not happen until we acknowledge the sin in our own heart. And it will not happen till we're honest enough to say, you know what? I've got to face the consequences for my own decisions. I've got to face the consequences for the way I've been living. I've got to face the consequences for my own life. You know the hardest person to be honest with? We can see idolatry and paganism and dancing around the calf. The foot of the mountain's the place to worship. There's so much I should have preached today. But as a pastor, as a Christian, my heart in this message this morning is that we would all come clean with a holy God, acknowledge our sin, and ask Him to use us. Consequences for idolatry. We can't live any way we please and not face consequences. God, we pray that You'll help us this morning. Lord, this morning, church folk, folk that have had a busy week and health concerns. And God, my heart turns to spiritual things. My heart turns to our need to walk with You. God, my heart turns to acknowledging the sin in my own life. God, I desire that our spirit would be right in this message, that we would yield ourselves to You. God, if there's areas of sin or secret sin, areas that are hidden away in our heart, God, that we would acknowledge them to You. That as a church, that as believers, that as individuals, we would yield our sinful desires, and God, that You would use us. Help us to be honest with You. Use this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll stand your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed, and as the instruments play this morning, I don't even think I want to sing, Brother Mike. Just let the instrument play. Would you come this morning?
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood
morning
with all their guilt.
Hymn 379, if you need the hymnal.
With all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that flood with all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in His day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins
on the last hymn 379 on the last.
Then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing Thy power to save, when this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here today, and what an honest heart evaluation for all of us to admit our sin nature, and that, God, we just need to yield to You, and that He can cleanse us, He can use us, we can be a vessel, but it just won't happen until we acknowledge the sin in our own heart. And thank You for being here today. So many we need to pray for. Let's continue to pray for Sandy Howard. She has a UTI and sickness. And then Alice McClellan, Brother Larry. Alice took a fall and crushed her right shoulder about a week and a half ago, and continue to pray for Alice and Larry and others here in our congregation. Tonight we'll have communion in our 6 p.m. service, and I did this on purpose. You say, Pastor, did you know it was the Super Bowl? I really don't care if it's a Super Bowl or not. I will have a piece of pizza after the service. But Valentine's Day is this week, and I wanted to have communion and remember His love for us. And that was the very reason I picked today, to have communion and spend some time as we reflect on His great sacrifice for us there at Calvary. It'll be a sweet time together, 6 p.m. this evening. We'll be dismissed here with a word of prayer. I'm so happy to see you. So many I've been praying for and grateful for the wonderful service the Lord gave us. Brother Shane, can you lift your voice, please, and dismiss us with prayer? Thank you so much.